All right, all right. Amen, amen. How are we doing tonight? Man, God is good. I feel God's place. I just feel like He just wants to do something great. And if you are entering into this fast, I just encourage you to keep going. And because I believe that God does want to bring breakthrough. Do you know that He already has broken through? Amen. And so all you're doing in the fast is really aligning yourself with what He's already done and what His design is for you. And so spiritual warfare is all around us and it's constant, but we know that God has already won the victory, but you are partnering in with Him in warfare. And so whether you realize it or not, you stepped into a war when you decided to sign up to be a Christian. So welcome to God's army. Welcome to doing war. And how you doing in the war? Because whether you realize it or not, the way you fight in the war has a lot to say about your faith in God. Because if we continue to move forward in God, you know there's always going to be obstacles that are there that are trying to impede our progress. And so the tendency for Christians is to try to back up or acquiesce because it gets too hard. And so what we have to do is we have to realize who we stand with, what foundation we stand on, and allow Him to help us move forward in our relationship with Him, because without Him, it's impossible for us to see breakthrough in our life. How many of you have gotten to the point in your life where you realize that this war is too big for you? It's too big. The fight is too big for you. And so you can't fight it on your own. It's one of the reasons why Daniel had a hard time getting his prayer answered, because the warfare was so great. And so you have to partner with God and partner with God's people in order to see progress and breakthrough in your life. You cannot do it on your own. It's impossible. But the good thing about it is that God has set it up. This is His thing, and that He knows what to do. And so that's why fasting is important. That's why it's key in our life. And so as we continue in this series called Reset, I want to open our eyes to a few things in Ephesians tonight, because I think it's going to help us see really what our role is in this fight. And so we're going to pick it up in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. It says that we should no longer be chilled to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That is a lot to swallow in the last part of the verse, and I don't have time to unpack this whole verse, but if you go a few verses up, it talks about, and He gave some to be apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists for the work of the ministry, to equip you for the work of the ministry. And God has called you to do the work. So as a pastor, and my job is to get you ready and equip you to go out and do the work of the ministry so that the body can be built up, so that you are no longer tossed back to and fro by every wind and wave of doctrine that comes into your life. And how many of you at one time or another have been tossed and you believe something that was wrong? Or by the cunning craftiness of men, the Bible talks of the plotting of men or the trickery of men, so that we can grow up into all things Christ. And so what that means is be equipped so that you're able to divide what is true and what is false. And so God does not want you walking around deceived in your life. He wants you walking around in truth so that you can point out a lie when it's a lie. And you can point out a liar when he's a liar, so that you don't have to fall prey to it. And so especially in the world today, where there are so many doctrines about who Jesus is and who He wasn't, God says, I want you to grow up so that you can stand firm in your foundation and know what you believe. So that when a spirit comes in or when something is taught, the Bible says you can test that spirit and recognize and realize whether or not it's from me or not. Because I don't want my kids walking around deceived. And for those of you who have had kids in your life or you're raising kids right now, your one desire or one of your desires for those kids is that they don't get taken for a fool by one of their friends or by someone they're in contact with. Because you know you were there once, that men, kids have a way of manipulating people or us into what they want us to get
or assign to us what their destiny for us should be. And so we have to be very careful, because whether we realize it or not, people, while good intentioned, their desire for us isn't always God's desire. And so as kids of God, or as we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, how much more is his desire for us need to be prevalent in our life so that we don't fall prey to things that are not part of our own destiny that God has for us in our life? That's why growing up is important. How many of you know that you don't think the same way you used to think? Because you've grown up. The things that you used to think were crazy, now that you look back. But you've matured and you've grown up in your life, so now that you can see it differently, and you're not tossed to and fro by what people say all the time, because you know who you are in Christ, and you're able to weigh what people say against the Word of God, and more importantly, against what the Spirit is bearing witness in your spirit about at that time. That's how you know you're maturing in your relationship with Jesus Christ, is that when the Spirit is bearing witness with something inside of you that someone else is saying, and you listen to that, that's how you know you're maturing. Same way with your kids. When your kids begin to listen to you, that's how you know they're growing up and they're maturing. Not that they always agree with you about what you say, but they just take you at your word that you know best. Same way with the Holy Spirit. They always agree with what he's saying, but he knows best, and I go with it. That's growth. That's maturity. And so what we have to recognize, first of all, is number one, is that this is his body. It's not your body. And so when he died for the church, he was dying for a church that he saw, but in knowing that each one of you would be his possession. So that means that when he died for you as a possession, that means that he has a specific design and purpose for that possession. He doesn't just keep that possession to himself and not do anything with it. He has a desire and a purpose to do something with that possession. And one of those things that he wants to do is to show us off to the world as a possession. And you may not look at yourself as being show-worthy, but God looks at you as show-worthy, so much so that he would die for you on a cross so that you could be with him today. It's his body. And so what that means is that when you come into relationship with him, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. What happens is that my life is now Christ's life. So now I am in Christ. So everything I do by the faith that I have in the Son of God who gave his life for me. So every move I make is in Jesus right now. So right now I am covered by the blood. I am covered by Jesus Christ because of what he did for me. So that's why there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because of what Jesus did. So that does not change in your life. And this is important that you recognize that, because it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has nothing to do of what you've done or what you did. Your past is already dead. You're new in Christ. And so now you have a hope and you have a future. You are his body. You're in him now. And that's a good thing, because you don't have to rehearse what you used to do or what you did in your life, because he doesn't remember that anymore. So when God looks at you, he looks at his son and he says, forgiven, justified, and healed. I don't see any guilt in them whatsoever. What? Absolutely. And we miss that point sometimes, because of the way we oscillate back and forth in our emotions and how we feel. To know that God, he is constant. His love for you is constant. His bride, he loves his body. And you are part of the body. That means you have a place in the body. And God sets you in a body so that you can be lifted up and built up, because God has a design for his church. Remember, it's his church. It's not your church. It's God's church. Yes, you could say, I go to this church. It is God's church. Universal, the church, is God's church. It's God's church. No matter who comes and who goes, it's his church. So, what does that mean for you? In the last portion of the scripture, it talks about some key things. It says, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That means this: you are a supplier to the body. You have something to give to the body. What is one of the purposes of joints? They give mobility to the muscle in the body so you can move in your legs and your arms. That's why it's important when doctors tell you you need to have strong joint health. It's because it helps with your flexibility and your mobility. It's move. And so if you're a supplier to the body, that means that you have to be healthy. And so, but here's the thing. When God places you into a body, you are saved, but you're being saved. You're not healthy yet. And so the purpose of being in a body is to get healthy. Around a body of believers is so that you can get healthy being together. That's one of the reasons why people gravitate toward other people, because there is something to be said about being in community with other people that brings people into a new level in their relationship with God, or just a new level in life, because you are not called to do life alone. And so God knows and understands that while a relationship with him is paramount and you cannot have that without being successful, that he also knows that being in relationship with other people is also paramount and essential to your health in your life. It's important. You can't have one and not have the other, because you won't be as effective as a Christian as you need to be. And so what that means in your life is that God wants you to get healthy so that you can help the body move, this body, the church body move. And so if you are a joint in the body that causes the body to move, that means that the degree to how healthy you are affects how the body moves. Do you understand that? So that means if you stay sick and you stay in an unhealthy set or revert to old patterns into your life, what you do is that you cripple the body's progress. It's your own life. When there's a portion of your body that is not working right, it affects your whole body. And it doesn't have to be a big part of the body. It can be something small. It just wrecks you, because one part affects the other. And you know this to be true, because if you have an ailment on your foot, what it causes you to do is to put more weight on the other foot. And then what that does, it causes you to get out of balance in your life the way you feel. Because then once you do that, other things start to hurt, because you're not shifting and you're not weighted properly and you're not balanced in your life because one part of your body hurts. And you know what I mean by that, because once one hurts, what happens is all your focus goes to that. And you get distracted. So the body in itself, God's design for the body is to be healthy. He already sees the body perfect. Positionally, yes, perfect in him. But he knows in our current state right now, we've got some work to do. And so you have to make it up in your mind, make a conscious effort to say, you know what, this year, I'm going to do what I can to allow God to, so that I can walk in health, because I know that if I'm healthy, the body's healthy. If you don't take your place in the body, we're not as healthy as we can be. And so the longer you wait to get better, the longer we wait for our impact to be maximized in our life. If you can't get better, and if you can't deal with some of those things in your life that cause dysfunction, then we can't maximize our impact as a body, not just as a church locally, but in the world. Because when he says, go ye into all the world, that means wherever you go, church goes. So that means around the world, if you're on a mission trip, if you're visiting somewhere in Georgia, wherever it is, you're affecting the church body by your health. And so take an assessment right now of how healthy you are as a Christian. Are you healthy? Are there things in your life that you know need to be shored up because you're not being as effective as you can be? You know, over the last week, one thing that a fast does, it helps you to bring things into clearer perspective and shows you things that you're not as sharp in as you should be in your life. Things that need to be taken care of or need to be attended to have not been, and so God brings it back into your view so that you can see it and attend to it. And what it does is it really shows you your level and where you're operating at in your life. Have you ever been around somebody who is healthy or someone who is not where you are in your life? And what does it do for you? It gives you a barometer of where you're at, but really where you want to be in your life. And sometimes it can be an irritant because you know that that person is doing or being what you know you should be doing or being, but you're not there yet. And I believe that God allows you to be in that situation to push you to say, listen, that is there so that you can begin to sharpen in your life. That's why as iron sharpens iron, so does one man's countenance sharpen another. That's why the enemy does not want you around other people, because he knows if you do, there's a sharpening that takes place. You can see things that are different that you haven't seen before. You begin to come alive in ways that you haven't come alive before. All of a sudden, you just begin to burst with creativity that maybe you haven't seen things the way you haven't seen before. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting a different perspective, and that means just getting around other believers and seeing things differently. That's the key sometimes, just your through. It's the key. Just being in community with people. All of a sudden, things come alive. You haven't seen that before, but all of a sudden, because they're pushing you, all of a sudden, in your mind, you see it differently, and something happens in your spirit. Life. So where are you at in that process? Part of resetting and seeing things in a new and different way is allowing God to put you in situations where he wants to put you, so that he can work on you, reset some old thought patterns in your life that should not be there, set it so that it's new and the way he wants it to be, so that it can stay. Because remember last week we talked about the whole idea of getting your bones broken and also healed again is putting them in a position so that they can stay, so that eventually that when it gets better, sometimes in the cases that you can have more flexibility and mobility, it was better than before. Some of us have never properly healed in our life. Never healed. You are broken from the start, but you've never properly healed because you never learned the value of resting in him, but also being around other people and the value that they bring to that healing process. There was a sign at a hospital, and I was walking through it, and the sign says, quiet, shh, patients are healing. You know what it made me think of? Do you know that as you rest in God and as you trust in him, that healing process takes place so much faster than if you're anxious and you're worried and you're driven in your life? That God wants us to learn just to rest in him. Not that we don't work, not that we don't do things in our life because we're supposed to be doing those things, but learning the value of rest, because in that rest, God has a way of coming in and just healing some things in our life that maybe have not been healed. And the fast, while exciting, I'll say that, because it brings us into a new relationship with him, is also a way for God to move some things up into our peripheral, into our vision, so that we can say, hey, listen, that thing is still ailing you. Ailing you. And what it's doing is, it's sucking the life out of you and causing your view to be distorted because of that. And let me just say this, and most of us probably would agree with this, is that there's a root of bitterness that has a tendency to take place in our life when things happen that cause everything that's good that comes into life to be tainted because of that root of bitterness. And if we're not careful, it'll be that root that takes out all the good that God wants to do. But what God wants to do is take that root out and replace it with joy so that we can really experience the goodness of God and the good things that he has for us now in our life while we're still here. God is good. We know that. The problem is the root. And so in your life right now, you could be supplying the body with things from your past that God wants to take care of and deal with in your life. And he set it up that way. If you don't get into a body and if you don't get into a community, those things won't get healed. And you know that's how it is. He says, abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do absolutely nothing. Then he goes on and talks about us being in community as a church and as a body together because that's how he set it up. So you are a supplier. And the question is this, what are you supplying to the church right now? Are you supplying bitterness to the church? Anger to the church? A mindset that is negative? And so God said, listen, what I want to do is I want to come in and I want to change that attitude or that mindset that you have so that you can look at things differently. If you go down a few verses down, it says being made new in the spirit of the mind, or another word, being made new in the attitude of the mind. You know where the issue is? The issue is not with God. The issue most of the time is with your attitude and how you feel about something. And you know this to be true because when you grew up, a lot of times your parents would look at you and say, listen, if you don't change your attitude right now, there's going to be problems. And I think God would look at us and say this, if that attitude that you have right now does not change, it's going to hinder your progress in me the rest of your life. Because you are going to think that every time something comes into your life that is not good, that eventually something is going to go wrong, and you'll never experience the freedom that I have for you because of that attitude that you have. And most of the time, the attitude stems from what happened. And so what happened is supplying that attitude. And you know this because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I can tell what is going on in you by what is coming out of your mouth, or sometimes what is not coming out of your mouth just by your body language. Just by your body language. And so the attitude has got to change. And if we don't think that God wants to bring attitude adjustments, we haven't read the whole Old Testament. The Old Testament was an attitude adjustment. And then he comes over into the New Testament and he throws in scriptures like this that says, being made new in the spirit or the attitude of your mind. That means I want to do some work in your mind. The last thing is this, it's in your head that God wants to get. Because if you can kill it in your head, you can kill it in your life. If there are things in your head that are not lining up to the way God wants you to think, and you can get that thought process turned around, guess what will happen in your life? Your life will have a total different trajectory because you'll begin to look at things with a different perspective and embrace those things in your life because you know the goodness of God and that God is actually for you. And so I've got to kill it in my head. What does that look like? And why is it important that that changes? Because there are dreams that God wants to resurrect. There are dreams that God has placed into his kids that he wants to see come to pass. And we said this before, they're not there just to stay there. They're there to come out. And even as I'm speaking right now, people are like, yeah, right, dude, I got things going on in my life. Attitude of the mind. They're still there. Well, God will never do it. With that attitude, probably not. But God wants us to get into alignment with him so that when he does say he'll do something, we say, you know what, he is going to do it. You know what, I believe that those things that I want to see in my life, I will see those things because of who God is. God has promised me those things. He's got good plans for me in my life. And no matter what's happening, I'm going to believe it and I'm going to move forward. It doesn't matter. It does not matter what I see or how I feel. They're going to take place because God is good and he does. And so it's in your head. And so, listen, once God gets in your head, that's a whole nother thing. And you know God will do that. Because he knows that that thought process is detrimental and just bringing death into your life and not aligning whatsoever to the way he feels. And all it's doing is causing you to be handcuffed in your life. That's it. You say things like this, well, he did it for someone else. He probably wouldn't do it for me. Negative. Negative. And God is adamant about change. Adamant. You cannot go into what I have for you thinking that way. It's impossible. You want a promised land blessing with an Egypt mentality. And not work. I have called you to be free and walk into all these blessings in your life, but you're still thinking like a slave. And so we got to break that slave mentality and recognize and for you to realize that you're my son, you're my daughter, and I mean it. Not based upon what you've done for me, but based upon the fact that you're my kid, I chose you, I've got a purpose for you, and I actually want to see you thrive and have joy in your life. And listen, let's go a little bit deeper. I actually want to see you happy. Oh, my God. What? Happy? What is that? Some of us are like, what does that even mean? Happy. Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. Not that we don't have difficulties. We can have, joy is good. We have joy in circumstances. But God says, listen, let's take it a little deeper. I want you actually to be happy in your life so that you can actually enjoy your life and not worried about that thing is going to go too. Be happy. So that you get excited again about what I have for you. I know what it encompasses and how big it is. But you can be excited to know that if I have a plan for you, it's going to be good. And that when it's all said and done, that you will walk in your destiny. You will walk before people holding your head up high, declaring the works of God because of what he's done. That's how good God is, and that's what he wants to do in our lives. But listen, we've got to have that expectation to believe that God is going to do it. He's going, well, it's just not happening. Listen. All in due time. But I can't bring in if you won't let me bring you fully out of the past. You cannot keep reverting back to old thought patterns and the way it was and expect things to be different in your life now as you begin to move forward. That's not who I am. Part of this fast, allowing God to get in. Bring restoration again. Bring hope again. Sometimes they get buried, that hope gets buried over things in their life, but it just brings it back again where you can think again that is it possible? Yes, it's possible. You don't want to get to the end of your life and say, listen, I could have, but I didn't because I was in my head life. Eric says something good. He said, listen, Lord, help us get out of the way this year so that you can get in, do what you have to do, and so that, listen, I could believe without a shadow of a doubt that the best is yet to come in my life because it's my turn. And I think God would say to us that it's your turn. It's your turn to not go back. It's your turn to receive the fullness that I have. It's your turn to begin to walk into the things in your life that you actually heard me speak to you and that you felt in your spirit. It's your turn. Do you believe me that it's your turn? It's not too late. It's your turn. It's your turn. But we got to believe for bigger in our life. One of the things I wrote down in the little Q&A journal, and one of the days said, what did you lose today? And one of the things I wrote down was the ability to think small. The ability to think small. Because God's not small. And so, if I'm going to have a conversation with him, I've got to get on his level and what he's thinking. Not to say that he's not in the whisper, but God said, listen, no, come up to where I'm thinking because I have it bigger. And that means, yeah, it might be uncomfortable for you to actually believe it, but what I'm going to encourage you to do is write down some crazy stuff over the next few weeks. Crazy stuff that you want to see happen. Not to say that God's a Santa Claus. He's going to say he's been a good boy. That's his. Because God, he can shift it any way he wants to shift it. But what I'm saying is God does not disappoint. But he wants us to believe like he believes. Think bigger. Because listen, if you always think on this level, you're going to get what's on that level. You start shooting higher. All of a sudden, as you start shooting higher, guess what God does? God says, I'll do you one more. I think God wants his kids really to start trusting him again and say, Lord, I believe you've got good things for me. I'm just during this fast for during this year, and that the end of my life is going to tell the story about how good you were. Can we all stand up to our feet tonight? We're going to close with this song, Fullness, again. And I want to encourage you tonight. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care. I believe God wants to just change your mindset a little bit so that you can see it differently. And how do you know that the very thing that you're believing for and that you want to see God do, that God is not already doing and that he already does have for you, which we know he does, but it's just a matter of you believing it for yourself. So as we close with Fullness tonight, feel free to lift your hands and really to receive from God and declare it in your life that you will begin to see those things. And as you begin to write those things down over the fast, that God's going to one-up you because that's who he is.